Hallo und herzlich willkommen hier zu einer neuen Folge von A Thousand Paths of Healing, die erste Folge nach der Sommerpause. Genau, ich freue mich wirklich sehr, heute mit einer neuen Folge zurück zu sein. Und es geht auch um ein ganz, ganz spannendes Thema mal wieder. Aber bevor wir gleich losstarten, wollte ich mich erstmal vorstellen für alle, die vielleicht heute zum ersten Mal mit dabei sind. Mein Name ist Laura Eggers und ich bin Heilpraktikerin für Psychotherapie und ich biete in Düsseldorf ganzheitliche Psychotherapie an und biete auch noch andere Sachen an, wie zum Beispiel Naturcoaching und Achtsamkeitsworkshops. Also wenn du Interesse hast, mal meine Angebote anzuschauen, dann schau am besten einfach mal auf meiner Webseite vorbei. Heute geht's um ein ganz spannendes Thema, nämlich um die Arbeit mit Psychedelika. Und mein Gast heute ist die wunderbare Heike. Heike ist Psychologin, sie wohnt in den Niederlanden und sie leitet ihre eigenen Retreats mit einem ganz bestimmten Psychedelikum, das wir in dieser Podcast-Folge Planteacher nennen werden. Das liegt einfach daran, dass dieses Psychedelikum, mit dem sie arbeitet, noch nicht in allen Bereichen von den Niederlanden und nicht in allen Ländern in Europa legal ist und genau, sie einfach keine schlafenden Hunde wecken möchte. Bei Fragen dazu könnt ihr mir oder ihr natürlich gerne schreiben. Ja, und in der Folge geht es dann darum, wie genau Plant-Teachers generell wirken, also wie Psychedelika wirken, warum sie so kraftvoll darin sind, uns in unserer eigenen Heilung zu unterstützen und warum sie das Potenzial haben, ganz vielen Menschen zu helfen, zu heilen und glücklicher zu sein. Aber weil Psychedelika natürlich auch, sagen wir mal, sehr, sehr starke Wirkstoffe sind, die einen großen Einfluss auch auf unsere Psyche haben können und starke und große Erfahrungen auslösen, ist natürlich auch ganz besonders wichtig, auf Sicherheit zu achten, einen Kontext zu finden, der für einen selbst total passend ist und in dem wir uns sicher fühlen. Und darüber sprechen wir auch ganz, ganz viel. Wir sprechen auch darüber, wie man einen guten Anbieter finden kann. Wir sprechen darüber, was in so einer Zeremonie mit einem Plant-Teacher überhaupt passiert und wie man sich das so vorstellen kann, darüber, wie die Retreats, die Heike leitet, so aussehen. Und genau, Heike ist auch IFS-Therapeutin, also IFS steht für Inner Family Systems. Das ist eine Therapieform, in der man mit Anteilen arbeitet. Da gibt es sozusagen unser Selbst, das für unsere Essenz steht und dann verschiedene Anteile, unter anderem zum Beispiel Beschützeranteile, auf Englisch Protectors, die zum Beispiel verhindern möchten, dass wir Menschen mit Schmerz in unserem Inneren in Kontakt kommen. Und auch darüber sprechen wir ein bisschen, über diese Therapieform und warum die super gut zusammenpasst mit der Arbeit mit Psychedelika. Ja, und wir sprechen noch über viele andere Themen. Ich finde, es ist ein ganz, ganz inspirierendes Gespräch geworden und ich finde es auch wichtig, gerade in der Zeit, wo Psychedelika und Therapie mit solchen Substanzen auch relativ viel Aufmerksamkeit bekommt und so ein bisschen so ein Trend ist, irgendwie einfach Menschen darüber zu informieren, damit sie die Möglichkeit haben, das vielleicht selbst zu tun, aber vor allem auch in einem sicheren Setting zu tun. Noch ein Hinweis, der Podcast ist auf Englisch. wenn du jetzt nicht so gut Englisch sprichst oder Schwierigkeiten hast, das zu verstehen, dann kannst du auf YouTube gehen, da werde ich den Podcast auch veröffentlichen und Untertitel anschalten. Die werden dort automatisch generiert und das sollte bestimmt helfen, dass du den Podcast besser verstehen kannst. Und ein allerletzter Hinweis noch. Leider hat ungefähr 2 Minuten vor dem Podcast mein Mikrofon den Geist aufgegeben, beziehungsweise ein Kabel war kaputt. Und deswegen bin ich nicht so richtig gut zu verstehen, leider mal wieder. Aber ich bin total froh, dass es überhaupt noch geklappt hat, den Podcast aufzuzeichnen. Und ich hoffe, du verzeihst die etwas schwierige Tonqualität bei meinen Fragen. Genau, und dann würde ich sagen, jetzt geht's los mit dem Podcast. Ich wünsche dir ganz viel Freude beim Lauschen und ich hoffe, du bist danach inspiriert und informiert. Also viel Spaß beim Lauschen. Hi, Heike. I'm so happy to have you here on my podcast today. I'm really looking forward to our conversation. And yeah, before we dive in, I would say, first, maybe you can introduce yourself a little bit to our listeners, say a little bit about like who you are and what you do.
Yeah, well, thank you for inviting me. I'm also looking forward to our conversation. Yeah, my name is Geke. I live in the Netherlands and in the north of the Netherlands together with my husband, my son, four cats. I live in the country, on the countryside. And I work with the plant teacher. I give retreats with the plant teacher every month here in the Netherlands and also in Portugal. And originally I was trained as a psychologist here in the Netherlands when I was around 20 till 25. And 14 years ago, I came into contact with the plant teacher. And yeah, that brought me on the path that I am on today. And next to the retreats that I offer monthly, I also am a trained internal family systems therapist or coach. I don't know if I can call myself a therapist. I'm always a little bit confused with the IFS codes. But I am trained in IFS, so I also offer coaching sessions for people before they go into a retreat or a ceremony and afterwards to help with the integration.
Okay, so now you mentioned quite a few interesting things. So you mentioned the plant teacher. Can you tell us a little bit about what a plant teacher is, just in like general terms?
Yes, well, you have different kinds of plant teachers. Some people also call them psychedelics. And these are natural plants, a lot of times combinations of plants, but not always. And when you take them in, then they bring you into a different state of consciousness. So they help to expand your mind. They help to also a lot of times help to really open your heart. And they can help to let you see the world, yourself, in a broader view a lot of times. So it is a lot of times about expansion of consciousness, expansion of your senses. So they basically bring you into contact with that what is beyond the personal, but also beyond what you've learned, what you've conditioned. So a lot of times it brings you into contact with the broader context of life and of being alive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds so fascinating. I'm curious, like, how did you end up working with the specific plant teacher that you work with?
Yeah. Well, it was my husband wanted to do a ceremony with this specific plant teacher 14 years ago, and he invited me to come with him when he was having the ceremony. He was having it one-on-one with a guide. And for me, it was a really beautiful introduction because I was very afraid of going into like ceremonies like this because of like, yeah, it is a, because you get into a different state of consciousness and you don't know beforehand what's going to happen. And I think like every human being, I also really had some controlling issues like, oh, what's going to happen? And parts of me were quite afraid. And so for me to go with him without me taking the plant teacher or drinking it and be present with his process, and then yeah, I could really experience and be in the presence of this energy, of this spirit, because I also see it as a spirit, was for me a very, like, almost gentle introduction to this plant teacher. And because I was present with his ceremony, I found the courage to also have a ceremony myself the month after. And the organization I did it back then, they asked me after a couple of weeks to come and guide with them because they knew about my background in psychology and in transpersonal therapy and voice dialogue. And I was like in an in-between phase at that time in my life. Our son was quite young. I just finished working together with some psychologist in a center. And I was like, yeah, searching, like, where do I want to go next? And then this came onto my path. And I just started guiding with them, with that organization. And I loved doing that because I loved being in the energy of the plant teacher. People, when they are in ceremony, things become very real. All the masks go away, fall off. And to be in that presence, I really love that. And I like the organization. So very organically, I started to guide. And then after, I think maybe a year or something, they asked me if I wanted to lead ceremonies as well. And then they trained me to become a ceremonial leader in that organization. And then I set up the whole international branch for that organization. And then 7 years ago, it was also time after 7 years in that organization to go my own way. So then I continued with my own organization. So it was, it was like a really beautiful, gentle introduction and getting to know the plant teacher. Also, of course, by doing lots of ceremonies myself. And yeah, it was almost like I was led to becoming doing this work. It's not like something I planned or I totally worked out, like this is what I'm going to do. But apparently this is what I have to do in this life. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it's sometimes like, yeah, if you just follow whatever life has to offer, you end up like in the best possible place.
Quite often. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. So in your experience, or like, what makes the plant teacher so powerful? And like, I heard a lot of people like telling really like, powerful stories about like how like a certain ceremony changed them. Like, what do you think? How is the plant teacher like contributing to our healing?
Yeah, it is. I have to say also that it's not something that everyone should do. So if people want to do a ceremony with whatever plant teacher there is, really in a ceremonial way, or because they are in need of healing, or they want to, like I say, have become become more aware, it is very important that you find a good organization with a good setting, and that they offer a good intake, and that they're also able to say no if you're not ready for it yet, because it can be very intense. Sometimes it also can really like turn your world almost upside down. But I think the power of it is that it brings you into, it connects you somehow with your own essence. And what I believe is that every human being, and maybe every living soul, I don't know that, but let's talk about humans, they have something like a spirit or an energy within themselves that is undamaged, that is unbroken, that is capable of healing, of incredible wisdom. And a lot of times the plant teachers bring you into contact with that energy again. So if only people in a ceremony can, even if it's just for glimpses, really feel with a felt sense. So it's not just something that you think or a concept, but the concept becomes real, that there's something within you that is capable of healing, of incredible wisdom, of then that can be transforming for people. Because a lot of people who have troubles in their lives, they feel like somehow they're damaged and they cannot get past that anymore. And I don't believe that. So a lot of times it brings you into connection with that. It's hard to find a word for it, with that essence or with that spirit within yourself. And what I believe is that the plant teacher, it is, I see it as your spirit goes like connects or dances with the spirit of these plants. And there is such incredible wisdom inside of all of us, but also inside of these plant teachers, and that goes beyond the concept of our minds. So a lot of times we try to think our way out of things, and the plant teacher really helps you to, yeah, to embody it, to feel it really in your whole system. And that's the difference. How people describe it and also how I have experienced it, it's almost like it can get to like the cells of you, like on a cellular level, it works somehow. So it goes very deep. People describe it a lot of times with, I've done lots of coaching or therapy or things, which are all very helpful. Eh? So it's not like you should skip that. And it's also not a substitute for therapy, because I think the more of a foundation you already have, the more the deeper the plant teacher can go into your system. But for a lot of people, it goes so deep in a way that they say, I could have never reached this with just talking or with all kinds of exercises, you know, it goes really deep. And a lot of times, also beyond what you are aware of. So a lot of times what you experienced during ceremony, like what you remember, consciously remember, is like 15%. And the other things are under the surface, but a lot of times you feel better afterwards. You feel lighter. You feel more in connection with yourself. Yeah. So it is, but again, and there's a lot of research at the moment. People also talk about like there's a new renaissance of psychedelics, which I think it's really beautiful and very hopeful. But yeah, it also asks for a lot of caution, because if you just do it like, oh, I'm just going to do a ceremony, then it can be also dangerous, is maybe too much of a word, but it can also be damaging.
Mm.
So it's important that you have, like I say, some kind of a foundation. It's important that people have a good support system afterwards. It's also, good to be aware that you have to do the work afterwards. And so what came to the surface, if you just let it be and you don't do anything with it, it will just go back under the surface again. Mm-hmm. And so you have to find ways also to work with what you've experienced during ceremonies.
Yeah, you're right. Like it does seem at the moment there's quite a hype around like psychedelics.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in some ways that's good. And in other ways, I think sometimes there's a tendency in our society to first like ban everything and be really scared of it. And then it comes and then maybe we see it too positively and are like, oh, this is the solution for everything. And I think we always have to find the middle ground. It's very powerful and that's like absolutely wonderful, and yet I think then you also have to be a little bit more careful, of course.
Yeah, and there's a lot of potential in it, also with individual use of some psychedelics, also with people with severe PTSD and with veterans, for example, or with people really. It is also good to have research and in what kind of setting do you do it. And what I offer, you know, I have a therapeutic background and I find that also very useful in my retreats. It's not therapy, you know, it's not a substitute of therapy. And that's also good to, but I think a lot of the safety you can create around it is to be very transparent with people around it. And also to know, and for me, maybe it's easier for me to say that because I have a very solid organization now. And, you know, so for me, if I really feel that it's not a good moment in someone's life, I will also say to someone, you should not do it. And I will always try to offer alternatives. Yes? Like we talked a little bit before this podcast about, for example, breath work. But there are many ways that lead to Rome, and this is one of them. Yeah, but I think that's also important, also for facilitators to say no if you feel like this is not the right moment in time or not the right match for you. Mm-hmm. But I really agree with you that it is about balance. And it is,
Yeah, so maybe before we dive more into the benefits, maybe we can talk a little bit about like who maybe shouldn't do psychedelics or work with a plant teacher, and maybe also how we can find an organization that is trustworthy and where we know we are going to be safe.
Yeah. Well, to find an organization that's trustworthy for me, it's like I said, it's very important that people have that they work with an intake form beforehand. So if they don't work with that, I would not go there as a participant. And for me, it is also when you find a good organization to a lot of people who come to my setting, it's word of mouth. I never know that expression in English, but they come through people that they already know. So they already have a little bit of a feeling about my setting. But if you are going to find a good organization or setting, for me, it's also a red flag if you have any questions and they're not able to answer it, or they are vague around their answers. So if you have questions, ask them, you know, and also be active, proactive in that. Like, what can I expect? What is the team like? How does the intake procedure work? Is there aftercare? Stuff like that. So really ask that, and then also really trust your gut. Like, I don't know about this. Then find another organization. What was the other question?
there are people who shouldn't do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there are. It depends a little bit on which plant teacher, but certain plant teachers can certain medication cannot be combined. So, and a lot of times you cannot combine it with any kinds of drugs, especially hard drugs. But also some kind of psychiatric. Sorry for my English disorders, can be a contraindication. Like if you have a tendency towards psychosis, it's not a good idea to work with the plant teacher. But also, of course, if someone has had depression or has taken antidepressants, but maybe not now anymore, it is always good also for me in an intake to know more about that and know more about their background. And to for me, also a red flag is if people don't have any support afterwards, because that's also very important. Of course, I offer integration sessions if needed, but it is really good to have some kind of community, even if it's just one or two or three people in your environment that can understand what you've been doing, because otherwise it can be feel very alone and also help stagnate your integration process. And for me, age can also be it depends a little bit, like if people are very young and don't have a lot of life experience yet and don't have, like, yeah, I call that some kind of a foundation, that you already know your system a little bit and that you know when intensity comes or deep emotions come, that somehow you have some holding to be with that. And these are things that I always try to to check during the intake process. But I also always have a preparation day before we go into ceremony in my setting. So those are all moments that you can check that. And sometimes, and it depends also a little bit, because sometimes when people are, for example, have a burnout, for me, it's not strictly a no. It depends a little bit also in how, I don't know how to say that in English, you have like the... what kind of resources someone outside of him or herself, but also within. So it can sometimes be a really beautiful part of the process when people are, for example, in a burnout situation. And sometimes you can also feel, well, this is too much for your system right now. So maybe you have to wait longer till you recovered more and then go into ceremony. So there are also, there are some really red flags, strict no's, and there are a lot of gray areas where you really have to, as a facilitator, really have to fine tune if it's, if it's a good moment or not.
Interesting, and really important to know all those things. I also had always this impression, and maybe you think I'm wrong, but I always felt like I felt almost intuitively drawn to working with the plant teacher. And then I always knew this is the right moment. But sometimes it was my head who just thought, oh, this would be a good idea now. Or, it would, I don't know, like many more like egoic reasons why I wanted to do it. And then usually it wasn't the right time. Do you think that's also like a way of how we could maybe distinguish whether it's a good time for us now to work with a plant teacher?
Because you hear a lot about the plant teachers that people are talking about the calling. I felt a calling, or I felt called by the plant teacher. And also people who are quite sometimes very rational or very skeptical even, they said, well, I heard people say about the plant teacher is calling you. And I was always like, yeah, right. Till she or he started calling me. So that's funny. And it can be literally, I've heard people say, literally saying, I was sitting in a cafe, I heard someone mention the name of the plant teacher, and I didn't hear anything about the conversation. And I just knew I have to research that. Like, how does that work? Or people say, well, there was this moment in life, I've been thinking about it for years, and then all of a sudden all these people around me started talking about it, you know, like four or five or six times in a week it came up in conversations, like, and they see that as a sign. A lot of times, but that's also my experience, and I am quite intuitive myself, I can hear in an intake if it's like the calling from within, or if it's like the head talking, if it's a part that really wants to do this. And it is always good to, to explore that for yourself. And it, I think it's always, because I mentioned internal family systems, which is really parts work, we have different parts, it's almost like I did a ceremony myself last Saturday, and it was beautiful because in that setting, they really, and I also do that in my setting, but I could find it from the other side. They invited us to really be with the parts who didn't want to be there before we went into ceremony, and to really connect with them. And then also to be with the parts who really wanted to be there. And then by holding those, all these parts, then to find your place where you wanted to like lie down in ceremony. And I really believe that as well, that it is a lot of times parts within us who really feel a yes, and parts within us who feel a no, or are scared, or have worries or concerns. And it's good to, to bring all these parts with you. But if you, in internal families, they talk about self energy, self with a capital S, you can also call that soul or your heart. A lot of times you know that the calling is coming from that, from your soul or from your heart or from self. And then it's good to also work with all the parts around that, that maybe agree with the calling of your soul, and the parts of you like, we're also a little bit hesitant to to bring them all with you into ceremony.
I really like the model of IFS, and I think it makes so much sense also working with the plant teacher, because you said it is a way to connecting to your essence, and in many ways that is kind of the self, right, from IFS. I remember what you said earlier about the plant teacher helping you to connect to yourself and maybe even like opening up or introducing you to things about yourself that you didn't know were there. And I think that makes it so powerful that you have access to things that you can't access in any other way possibly. So if there are people listening maybe that are curious about maybe trying to work with a plant teacher, what mm-hmm. can they expect in a ceremony? What happens?
Yeah, that is but I think that's the most asked question. And at the same time, I'm doing this now for 14 years and I've had a lot of ceremonies myself, and every ceremony is different. And what I love when we have, we end the retreats with an end sharing, which I invite people to share something that was really, they really want to say out loud to the group so they can really even anchor it more. And yeah, because if they all go talk about their whole experience, it takes up too much time, but it's also not good, because words never do justice to what you've experienced. But for me, the way these plant teachers interact with each human being in such a unique way, for me, that's the magic of this work. So what can you expect? Yeah, you can expect almost for everyone physical sensations. So your body temperature changes a lot of times. You can get really hot or really cold. Your heart rate can go up. Your body can start to shake, or sometimes nausea comes. You know, these are quite common sensations that people have during ceremonies. It can be that you see visions, so that you really almost hallucinative states, and that you see all kinds of things with your eyes closed or sometimes even open. A lot of times deep emotions come up during a ceremony. And other than that, it is so, for me, the intelligence of these plant teachers, but also the intelligence within ourselves. And it's not this intelligence, which is nothing wrong with this because I love the mind, but it's so much more than that. These plant teachers give you what you need in this moment in life. So a lot of times what I hear, and I love it when people say that, people say, I came here with 100 questions. None of my questions were answered. And all at the same time, all of my questions were answered. Because questions were answered that I was not even aware of, that they were important for me in this moment in my life. And questions are not a lot of times answers like you asking me a question and I'm giving you answers with words. It happens sometimes, but the answers come through sensations, through visions, through felt sense, through really deep inner knowing that afterwards you say, well, suddenly I knew exactly what was needed, and people say, but how did you know? I don't know. I just knew, stuff like that. And for a lot of people, what happens in ceremony is, because a lot in general ceremonies are between 4, 6, 8 hours, but it feels like things have come up that you can work with for years. So a lot of but I recently gave an interview, and then what I sometimes, when people have no idea what to expect, then I say the best thing you can compare it with is dreaming. Mm. And also lucid dreaming. So you're aware a lot of the times that you're dreaming. So your concept of time changes, your like in a dream, you know, like in 1 second you can dream a whole dream of being a day in a dream can be 1 second, eh? When they do research around it, and that's the same in ceremony. But it is very hard to explain beforehand what can happen, because sometimes people also have a very mental experience. They really get a lot of insights, you know, and they get insights in how the brain works, or how their whole system how your whole system works. Sometimes people are how do you say that? They come in contact with parts that really hold trauma. Mm-hmm. And can be with these parts and hold them and help them to release and transform. Sometimes people have encounters with ancestors, with past lives. Sometimes people encounter encounters with life force beyond this earth, you know. Mm-hmm. With animals, with spirits, it's so rich, and it varies per person, per ceremony. It's hard to describe in words. I always find that even after 14 years.
I guess it is just not like an experience that can be described in words, because it's so different. It's not a lot about language, and about like feeling and experiencing. And I think those things that are experienced on that level are sometimes hard to put into words. Also, I think it's very mystical and spiritual in a lot of ways.
Thanks for mentioning that, because it is deeply personal for a lot of people, but also transpersonal. It really transcends what is, and also, like, a lot of people experience this sense of connection, that we're all connected, that it's here in the West, we have such a perception of we are all these individual people, which is of course also a concept, you know. If you look at other cultures, that's really not, they don't think and they don't feel and they don't live like that. They're much more still connected with everything that has a soul, you know. And for these cultures, also plants and minerals and the sky and the sun are also spirited, you know, animated, and they're connected with that. And a lot of times people also feel that connection again when you are taking a plant teacher. So thanks for mentioning that, because it's a very important and essential part as well. I think also what a lot of people are missing and lacking in this year in the West. Yeah,
I think so. And I always listen to a podcast of a trauma therapist, and she always says like the main impact of trauma is that it disrupts connection to ourselves, but to others, to the world. And I think, considering how much trauma, like collective trauma, has happened in the West, of course, all parts of the world, like, it is maybe one of the deepest impacts it had on us, that we're not so connected anymore. And I think if the plant teacher can bring back connection to ourselves mainly, but then also to others, to the world, I think that is already very powerful healing.
And that is a lot of times is what you hear as well, especially because I work with groups. Mm-hmm. Is that sense of community, is that sense of connection, like you said, within yourself, but like as within as without. Eh? So the more you start connecting with your inner world, the more you start connecting with your outer world. And that's, so I totally agree with that. Not a lot of times also, it is about people feeling so alone with what they're going through. And then to feel like, I'm not alone, like, you have to do things yourself. I cannot do your process for you, but I can be with you while you are in your process. And that is also healing in itself. Yeah, so it is for me also not so much about solving your problems, you know. It is about connecting with these parts within you that hold a lot of grief or disconnection or feelings of abandonment. And when you start connecting with that again, and they feel like, okay, someone's home now, That's where the transformation happens and the healing happens. Yeah.
Yeah, I think from a personal point of view, I can also agree with that. That I felt like when I worked with the plant teacher, that it healed a lot of those wounds of like feeling alone with something or feeling disconnected.
Yeah.
If people listen to you and they maybe want to come to one of your retreats, can you talk us a little bit through what happens at one of your retreats?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, like I said, if people sign up, I always have, they get an intake form to fill in. And I also have an intake call with them. So through Zoom or through phone call to see, like I said, if is this the right time, but also for people to ask their questions. A lot of times also to, talk about, but also get into the parts that maybe have some worries around it or fears around it. And then if they go to the retreats themselves, so I give retreats with one ceremony, with two ceremonies, with three ceremonies. So for example, if you go to a retreat with two ceremonies, people always arrive the day before. So they can land, they can already get to know the other participants, the location, the surroundings, where they sleep. And then the next day we have a whole day of preparation. And like the buildup of my retreats is that I want people to slowly get the chance to feel more or less safe and relaxed in the setting. But the first day is also really meant to slow down because a lot of people have high-paced lives here in the West. They come like, and then we're going to slow down. So we always have a sharing circle, which is already very, it also really helps to open the field because you create a field together where the ceremony can take place. So a sharing circle helps with that and to already feel like, okay, I'm here. A lot of people already after the sharing circle feel like, okay, I'm not the only one struggling, or I'm not the only one feeling a little bit anxious, or I'm not the only one. Duh, 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 duh. And that is already helpful and supportive. Then I always do something. If the weather is nice, we go out into nature. We have a walk in silence to really connect also with nature and through nature with your own nature. And I do something with dance, movement, to get more out of your head into your body. And movement is, it is literally, movement is also healing. A lot of times energy gets stuck into our system because I'm not going to get into that, how it happens, but it happens a lot. Really movement helps to already almost give your body the signal it's okay, to let it move, to let the energy move. And that's also how the plant teacher works a lot of times. It helps you to get the energy moving again, to release what wants to be released, but also to make space for what is needed. So that's also one of the reasons we do something with movement dance. And it's not, you don't have to be a dancer for it. It's really just really how your body wants to move. And then we always have a breathwork session on the first day, which is also, it helps to release the first layers of tension, but it also is a way to experience how it is to do something in a group, how it is a way to already experience how we as guides are present in our holding space. And that is all helpful to go into the ceremony or the ceremonies the next couple of days. And then I do the ceremonies during the day. That's also practical because we have this whole preparation day. We have a whole team. And if we do it at night, I am too old to sleep so little hours. So we do it during the day. And we have a whole day of ceremony. And what I always do, I have the first day, I have a quite extensive talk about what you can expect, how the days build up, about the dosage, about the first effects you can experience, about the group energy, about how you can navigate with the plant teacher, how you can, how the team will be present, what you can expect from us. And then I always start with a guided meditation to really connect with the plant teacher, to connect with your intention, which also is an essential part of the ceremony. And then we slowly get into the ceremony, which takes about the whole day. I always close the circle also together with the whole group, because it's good with ceremony to open a circle, but also close the circle again. And then in the evening, a lot of times people just really want to sit together or go to bed early or be out in nature to, it's already the integration process starts. And it is good to mention, and I also find that important if people are looking for a setting, because unfortunately I've heard quite a lot of people who've done ceremonies in other settings that when the circle is closed, the team is leaving. And people sometimes are still in the process after the circle is closed, because especially when you do this in a group, everybody reacts differently to the plant teacher. And some people are earlier out of the process than others. And I really heard from people who were left alone while they were still deep in the process, and that re-traumatized. Mm. Well, in our setting, it's always... we always check with all the participants, and if they need longer guidance, there's one of the guides always with them. And that means sometimes that we are, together with them till 11 o'clock in the evening, or sometimes even longer. But that's also our commitment, because it is important that if you're still in your process, that there's someone there, that you feel like I'm not left alone. So that's for me essential. So it can also be good to ask that if you in for a setting. And then after the last ceremony, people stay another night, and I always end with an end sharing, which is already the start of the integration process. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. It sounds so beautiful. There's so much time to just be and explore yourself, even before you go into ceremony. And and I really appreciate that, not leaving anyone alone, because that's like for many people the deepest fear, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah.
And now you already mentioned like the integration phase. And I think a lot of people haven't worked with a plant teacher, sometimes think you go there, you do it, and then you're done with it. Probably, hopefully healed. Can you talk a little bit about the integration process?
Yeah, I find it still quite, difficult, because it is not like a one, you don't have like experience, like a step, like a plan, like if you do this, your integration will go well. Mm-hmm. What is very important for integration is that you make space in your life to regularly sit with, be with what you've experienced. That can be throughout meditation, movement, walking. And it has to do with slowing down, with having moments of like silence, which doesn't have to be literally silence, because you can also use music. But if you go after a ceremony, you just go into the rat race again. It's only choo 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 choo, mm-hmm. only screens, distractions all the time, and no moments to reflect, then you probably won't have a lot of benefits from your ceremony. So it is about making time and space for your own process, for self-reflection. But it is not so much a process of thinking a lot of times. Mm-hmm. I had a ceremony Saturday. I always have a part that comes up afterwards that feels like I have to do something I should not forget, I should do something, because otherwise it will fade away. But that's not, and I know that part by now, and I can be with it, and I really love that part as well, you know, because it wants the best for me. But it is really a lot about just trusting that it will unfold the way it wants to unfold. But at the same time, it's also not totally letting go. And what I say to people after ceremony, a lot of times in your ceremony, you get like clues or trailheads or how you can stay connected with that essence that you've experienced, or that sense of community, or like you say, that feeling of connection. And then find your ways in your life to keep that connection open.
Mm-hmm.
And also knowing that you will forget at moments in your life when life gets really busy, or there's a lot of intense circumstances around you. A lot of times you will feel like you think back about your ceremony, you're like, it feels almost like a dream or whatever. And that will happen, but it is good to know that what you've remembered is within you. And then you have to find your way back to that again in your own unique way. For a lot of people, that is nature is very helpful to make that reconnection. It's being with like-minded people that can help. Like I said, meditation, yoga, dance, silence, movement, journaling for some people, other ways of expressing, as some people want to paint or want to, and that's all helpful with integration. And it is, yeah, for me, it's not so much an analytic process. Mm-hmm. It's not that you cannot use your analytic mind. It's not that a lot of times it's like, yeah, you know, it is, yeah.
Yeah, it's not something where you can just make a list and say like, oh, I do this every day and this every day, and then it's going to be okay. It's more something you have to feel through, maybe.
Yeah, and also sometimes really commit to, you know, because it is also to, like I say sometimes to people after, like with the end sharing, just pick one thing, you know, one thing, little thing that you can do every day that helps you to stay connected. And that can be, for example, a woman with last retreat, she said, yeah, I'm committed to dance every day, just to one song every day. And so because if you say I'm going to dance for an hour every day, it probably won't work. But to do that and to stay committed to that for a couple of weeks, and then you will find how that works for you in your life. And from there, other things will follow. And also sometimes with integration, parts work can be helpful. And so I find it very interesting, because if you, the founder of IFS, Richard Schwartz, he also has now quite some experience with psychedelics. And it's also, like we already said, a beautiful combination. And he was very afraid of backlash from protectors after ceremonies. Like, yeah, but then, hey, because you, in a way, you surpass the protectors. Mm-hmm. And then, but then he said, and I really like that when he said that, because it resonated with me. I said, there's not so much of a backlash, because a lot of times there's so much self energy present during ceremony that even the protectors have felt that and don't have to come back so fiercely afterwards. Like, yeah, but sometimes it happens that you need to do some work around protectors or exiles that came up during ceremony. So that can be helpful. And for me, because I love that you said that before, because I think connection is the key.
Mm-hmm.
Stay connected with whatever is alive, whatever comes up with you. And you basically need time and space for that. And you don't have to sit for hours every day with all of your parts. But if you ignore the signals of your body, the signals of your parts, and then they will come up in different ways. So it is about connection. Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. So in some ways, the integration part is like a continuation of the ceremony, I think.
Yeah. And what I love is that image I saw that this beautiful image, I think it was on Instagram, of a flower that was like it expands and then it contracts a little bit. That's how it grows. And I also really like that image. I also have it always in ceremonies that I get into this state, like at a certain moment that happens within my ceremonies, almost like, you know, it is, there's a lot of expansion during ceremony, but afterwards there will be contraction again, but it's never, almost never completely back to the contracted way it was before, you know? But it's also good to know that you don't stay in that totally expansive state all the time. I don't even know if that's possible, even in our society, to be in that state. I don't know. But it is about expansion and then a little bit of contraction. And when you contract too much again, then, yeah, you can become aware of that. And how can I expand a little bit more again, you know, and find your ways with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. Really beautiful. I'm wondering, you know, like you worked with the plant teacher for 14 years and you have a background in transpersonal psychology. And I know it's not an easy question, but like having like seen so many people go through such profound experiences, like what have you learned about humans and what were your most profound insight about like this life?
Beautiful question. Yeah. Well, I had a ceremony last Saturday myself, and at a certain point, and I have had that a lot of times in ceremony, but this time it was very profound again. It is about dancing with life and whatever comes. So I have parts, and that part also came up again last ceremony, and I love that part again. I really have deep appreciation for that part that wants me to live a pain-free life for the rest of my life, that wants me to never suffer again. And that part also always hopes that when I go into ceremony, that will happen somehow. And then what I always come back to find is that being human is being human with like fully living cannot happen without pain. It's not so much suffering, because suffering, I think, is when you contract, when you dance, when you expand, when you let it flow through you. Yeah. And I what I learn about human beings is that they're inherently good. I really believe that. I have felt that since I was a very young child, that's my core belief. And of course, I've had other experiences in my life that caused me to doubt that, and parts that doubt it. But in my core, I really believe that. And that because of the pain that was inflicted upon us, has sometimes very intensely, sometimes less intense, but that we've learned to close our hearts, to protect ourselves, and then do things sometimes, or act in a way sometimes that can be hurtful for other people. But that's not because we are inherently bad people. You know, they say hurt people hurt other people. So that's what I've learned, and how incredibly resilient and resourceful and creative human beings are. If we are in the right environment, with the right circumstances, with the right people, then there's that, yeah, we're like, there's so much potential, so much magic, so much, yeah, that's what I've learned. And I mentioned that a lot in the retreats. I might have mentioned that with everyone, you were there as well. But I also really feel that and experienced that again last Saturday, is that to really consciously choose for me to open my heart over and over again, that's an act of courage in this world. And it's not about becoming boundaryless. It's not becoming about love and light all the time. That's not it. But to really, yeah, really consciously feel I'm willing to open my heart. And also, when I do that, take the risk that I will get hurt again.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather do that than not love and not open. And I think a lot of, yeah, I meet really beautiful people in the retreats. And I see that with every human being is capable of that, I believe. And that's, like I said, it's not about living a pain-free life, you know, because that's not the world we live in. But it is through the pain, you also get to the joy again, and you get to the inspiration again, and you get to the connection again. Yeah, so instead of closing off, it's every time opening up, and then you close again, and then you choose to open up again. And I find that, yeah, I don't know if it answers you, it's your question, but
it does. That's a really beautiful answer, actually. I'm really touched. Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Is there anything you still want to share with us today?
Yeah, well, what I wanted to say, and we already touched that a little bit, and you also said it quite beautiful about the balance, but I want to mention that when you work with Blend Teacher in a safe way, in safe settings, that I really believe that they hold a lot of potential for humankind, for the world, and that I really get people who are afraid of it. And a lot of times it also has to do with not having experienced it itself. Eh? There's a lot of fear around it, which I get. And I also, like we said, it is important to do that in a safe setting. But at the same time, it holds so much potential that it feels for me, again, maybe like sometimes we really have to go beyond our fears to find what there is at the other side. And I really, truly love working with these plant teachers. And I'm also very grateful that they're here, you know, and I also really feel they're here for a reason, and that they offer a lot to us, and that it's also up to us in how we receive these gifts.
Thank you for sharing that too. I also feel that's like a really powerful and beautiful like medicine to work with, and I hope that our podcast inspired some people to maybe go on that path. I will for sure like put the link to your website in the show notes, so everyone can check that out.
And it's also good to know that it's also, you can find, people can find it on my website. I also offer inquiry calls. So if people feel like, I don't know if this is for me, or I need some more information, they can also have like a call with me. Like we just hop on a call for half an hour just to exchange something. So that's also always a possibility. Just wanted to mention that.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And thank you so much for being here with me and talking about this like really exciting and beautiful topic. I feel really like happy right now. I think it was a really beautiful talk. So thank you for sharing all those things.
Thank you so much. And really, really thank you for inviting me and for doing this beautiful work.
Thank you.
Ja, vielen Dank auch an dich, dass du heute wieder dabei warst, dass du der Folge gelauscht hast bis zum Ende. Und wie immer würde ich mich wirklich, wirklich sehr freuen. Also ich meine das wirklich ernst, wenn du vielleicht einen Kommentar bei Spotify in dem Kommentarfeld hinterlässt oder auf Instagram gehst, @1000pathsofhealing, und mir da einen Kommentar hinterlässt. Und ich freue mich auch immer total, wenn jemand den Podcast bewertet, am liebsten natürlich mit 5 Sternen. Das hilft mir total, dass der Podcast einfach ein bisschen bekannter wird und mehr Leute erreicht. Und deswegen wäre es für mich natürlich auch wunderbar, wenn du ihn mit anderen Menschen teilen würdest. Ja, ich würde mich sehr freuen, wenn du auf diese Art vielleicht was zurückgeben möchtest. Und ansonsten wünsche ich dir natürlich sehr, dass du aus der Folge was für dich mitgenommen hast. Und ich sag mal, bis zum nächsten Mal.